Now we did.
Yay! Yes.
And it only took 2 takes.
Oh, only 2, you guys. Seriously, I'm getting better at this stuff.
Right.
Awesome. I didn't even stop my feet. Anyway, well, great. Well, thank you. Thank you guys for waiting a few minutes, and welcome to LHON Live. As I said, this is Maria Johnson, one of the co-hosts. We also have on every month are my co-hosts, which are Jessica Loomer.
Hi, everyone.
And Andy Marks.
Hey, y'all.
Great. This month's call, we are going to be talking about some really motivating and positive things, and I hope you all are ready to join in. But first, we always like to get a little bit of the rules and housekeeping out of the way. These calls are meant to be positive and conversational and uplifting to all of us in the community. It's a way to connect. This call came about after the last conference, last June, the LHON conference, and we decided to keep the connections going that we had established at the conference, and hence this conference call came into play that we do once a month, the first Wednesday of every month. There are topics we don't get into discussing in any way, shape, or form on any call, and that is anything to do with religion, politics, and medical advice, which would also include supplements, homeopathic, natural, what's out there, what's going on. We just don't get into that on these calls. We like to keep that offline, and you know, we've seen how those kind of debates go on the Facebook page, so we like to leave that outside of the call. Anyway, again, welcoming everybody to the call, and we're really happy that you've all joined in. And feel free to speak at any time that we open it up for questions, answers you would like to share, but also know that you can just listen. You don't have to say anything, and we hope that you take away something from every call that you're on, whether it's somebody's story, it's a name of somebody you'd like to connect with, or you just get off the phone feeling supported and connected by others in the community. That's really, really what our goal is with this call. So I'm going to start with introducing our guest speaker tonight. And we do every month, we do have someone speak. So again, if you're ever interested, you need to give us a shout out and contact us. But somebody that would like to come on and share their LHON story. And tonight our guest speaker is Sue Gilman. She lives in Maine, and she has been kind enough to offer to share some time with us and talk about her journey living with LHON. So I'm going to turn it over to Sue Gilman. Are you there, Sue?
I am here.
Great. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you. Thank you. My story isn't really all that different from everybody else. In 2009, I was working away. I worked as a don't anybody shoot me now. I was a banker. I worked back office for a large bank. I was actually like a lead clerk, but had worked very hard and had actually just gotten a rather large promotion handed to me. Because I had worked so hard and literally worked my way up the chain and finally had proven myself and got my own department. And I was elated, just elated, and was working along. And 3 months after I got my promotion, I got up one day and I did my daily routine. I was reading my email at home before I went to work, and I noticed that I was having a hard time seeing my screen at home, and I thought, wow, you know, I'm tired. I did wear glasses at the time, and I had been working a lot of overtime, but I thought, okay, I probably need new glasses, and I'm probably just overtired. So, you know, packed up my stuff, went to work, and it seemed a little worse in just that hour it took me to get to work. And so I, you know, did some adjustments to my screen. That didn't help much. Called my IT department. They made some adjustments and a lot of adjustments to my screen at work. And, you know, I was telling the guy at work, I think I need new glasses. And he's like, yeah, I would say so. And I was like, yeah, this isn't good. And so I went about my day and, you know, dealt with it the way, the best I could. Went home, went in the next day and could not see my screen. And I went, this is not just needing new glasses. Something's seriously wrong here because I could not read my screen at all. And I immediately went into my boss's office in tears and said, something's seriously wrong here, Lisa. This is bad. And she was great. She was a great boss. And she said, no, you need to go find out what's going on. Go do what you got to do. And she literally said, put me on leave at that time. So I did, and I haven't been back to work since. I left there, made an appointment with my eye doctor. He took one look at my eyes, said, no, this is not just an eyeglasses thing, and I knew that. And he said, this is not anything I've seen. He said, I need to send you to a neurologist. He immediately called my doctor. My doctor referred me to a neurologist. Went to a neurologist, which, you know, here, I don't know about anybody else, but that took me another week, I think, before I could get in to see him. So then I went to see the neurologist. He did some exams, and then, you know, to speed things up, followed several months of tests. I had MRIs of everything, you know, cervical MRIs, orbital MRIs, several MRIs of my head, spinal taps. I had 3 spinal taps. They were seriously considering MS. We do have a high rate of MS in Maine. They did blood work of all sorts. And when I first had the problem, it was right in around, I believe I left work the week of Thanksgiving. By the week before Christmas, I couldn't see at all. I mean, my sight deteriorated to the point that it's at right now. So within about 3 weeks, it had gotten to that point. And then by, I think it was August of the following year, my neurologist said he didn't know what else to test for. He had done so many tests, and I still had no answers and didn't know.
Sue, I'm going to interrupt really quick. I'm so sorry. And
That's okay.
I apologize because I forgot to tell everyone to put their phone on mute before you started talking. And hearing
okay.
another phone ring reminded me, oh, my gosh. So, everyone, could you please, or have someone help you, please mute your phone and by pressing *6. And when it's time to open up the calls, you can press *7, and it will unmute you. So I apologize for interrupting for that, but I just couldn't let it keep going that way. So, Sue, I apologize. Continue.
That's all right.
Okay.
So at that point, you know, my doctor didn't know what else to test for. And so, of course, I was frustrated. And I said, well, okay, send me to Boston. We were already considering going there. And, you know, looking back on it, I probably should have asked for a referral down there way before that point. But, you know, hindsight is 20/20. 'Cause because I really thought that my neurologist was going to find the answer, but way before then. And honestly, I thought that it was going to be MS. I had a lot of other symptoms that kind of led that way. I had some peripheral neuropathy. I had some other symptoms, and I thought he was on the right track with MS. But I ended up going down to Boston and saw Dr. Rizzo at the Eye and Ear Infirmary, and that's what it ended up being. So when all was said and done, it ended up being almost a year to the day that I left work that I got my diagnosis for LHON. That was like the longest year of my life. Because I was blind and didn't know why. It was like I could deal with anything as long as I knew what I was dealing with. I'm sure a lot of people could identify with that. Did I lose you?
No, we're here.
Oh, okay.
No,
I didn't,
keep going.
My phone suddenly went dead, and I wasn't sure if my phone died out on me.
No, we're here. We're here again, just making sure people star six their phones.
Oh, okay.
When they get on. Yeah, no problem. Go ahead.
So once I got my diagnosis, of course, I went through the normal stages of dealing with it, and but I got back on the horse pretty quickly and got through the holidays, because, again, I said it was about a year, got through Christmas, and I think it was about January of that following year, and I was sitting home by myself, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to sit here all day long while Ken is off to work and just do nothing. I can't. I can't do this. And for a long time, I always liked to cook. And I always told Ken, I'm a cook, I'm not a baker. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to learn how to bake. I don't know how I decided I was going to do that all on my own, but I decided I was going to. Well, my first attempt was a horrible disaster, but, you know, it kept me busy all afternoon. And, you know, I burned myself, and, you know, I pretty badly, actually. I got a pretty bad burn on the back of my wrist taking something out of the oven, and, you know, the kitchen was a mess, and you know, at one point I got very frustrated trying to measure something in my Pyrex. You know, I couldn't measure something in a Pyrex measuring cup. I couldn't see the measurements, and I got very upset, and I ended up, Pyrex measuring cups do break. Because I got so mad, I threw it across the room. and it smashed and it broke. And, yeah, by the time Ken got home, the kitchen was a mess, and I was thoroughly frustrated. And it was, but I didn't give up. And I ended up learning, you know, I taught myself how to bake bread. I learned, I never, ever in my life could make a good pie crust. I now know how to make pie crust. For years and years and years, I crocheted. I've been crocheting since I was 10 years old. And I thought I could never do it again. And it took me a while to pick that back up because I thought, oh, my God, if I make a mistake, I'm not going to be able to, you know, figure out where I made a mistake. And finally, I missed it so much, I finally said, I don't care. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to do it. And I don't care what it looks like. I need to keep my hands busy. I need to create something. I'm happiest when I'm making something. And so that's what I do. And as time has gone on, I've gotten better at it. And I can now feel my stitches. I know if my stitches are right. When I make bread, I don't have to see if the dough is correct. I can feel the dough. I know it's ready. You know, we don't need our eyes for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we can do a lot of things. We may not be able to do everything, but we can do a lot of things. We just do them a little bit differently.
Sue, didn't you recently, or maybe it was a year ago, move to a large house in the country?
We did.
You did. You
we did.
I thought you had. And what kinds of things do you do with this large piece of land and this large home? Can you tell us about that?
We just bought a farmhouse about 2 hours north of us. So we are in the northern half of Maine now. And it is built in 1900, but it's been completely refurbished. It's beautiful. It's like my dream home. It has a barn, and our ultimate plan is to have chickens and a few goats. We're going to have a garden, of course, and we're going to be growing some. It is me and Ken and our very best friend, Angela, who is an herbologist. She's super, super smart. And she and I want to grow our own herbs, which is going to tie in with some of my crafts, which is soap making and some of the lotions and creams that she's helped me to learn how to make.
Now, how did you decide to get into doing soaps? I mean, isn't that a lot of chemicals or different kinds of, you know, there's a lot that goes into soap. I've never made it, but I can imagine there's a lot of measuring and all of that. Maybe your baking's kind of helped you with that.
Yeah,
still.
It did. It kind of tumbled from that. The soap making was something that I wanted to do a long time ago, and I figured if I could learn how to bake, I can learn how to make soap. And that was kind of an item of contention between Ken and I, because he said, no, absolutely not. That involves lye. You're not going to make soap with lye. No. And so I started to do a lot of research, and I found out, you know, what exactly you had to do, what kind of precautions you have to take, and just, finally, I knew that he was, because he's just a very cautious person, extremely cautious person.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all my research, and then I ordered everything I needed. Amazon is a wonderful thing. And I got the goggles, and I got the gloves, and I got all of the stuff, and I ordered it, and I ordered myself some lye, and I waited till he went to work. And I made my first batch, and I just made sure that I was very careful, and I made sure that everything was set up. And because what I found out was you just need to make sure that you're wearing your safety gear, your gloves, your goggles, all of that stuff. And the lye is the most dangerous once you've mixed your liquid in with the lye.
Mm.
That's when you're most likely going to get burned with it.
Oh.
So I made sure that I made sure everything was measured out before I did anything and set everything up. And then, so long story short, I just made sure I did everything, measured everything out, set everything up, and then did things as carefully as I possibly could. And I also made sure that when I got to that stage, it was sitting in a deep sink so it couldn't spill, you know. I did all kinds of things just to make sure. And then once he got home and I told him what I did and he realized that I could do it and do it safely, he didn't have a problem with it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, it sounds like you've taken on a lot of old and new activities. As you said, you're busy. A busy girl, creative girl, and that's what makes you happy. And, you know, taking care of this house and this farm and with some animals coming through, it just sounds great. And you mentioned that when you're creating and you're in, you know, this house, these are things that make you happy and, you know, knowing down in your heart, your soul, that being creative makes you happy. Would you say that was your motivator, was getting somehow how you were going to figure out to get creative for your own love and your own happiness? Was that part of the motivation to move forward for you and get into the things that you used to love to do, things like that?
It was a big part of it. Another big part of it was I had to stop myself from getting into this mode of being in despair. And when I stopped and thought about when I was growing up, my very best friend growing up was my friend Trish. And she had muscular dystrophy. And I knew her from the time we were in first grade right up until 10th grade. And this girl was an amazing girl. And she was in a wheelchair for the entire time that I knew her. And she just didn't let anything stop her. You know, she was go, go, go all the time. She was just amazing. She never lived life knowing that she was probably going to die from her disease. She was in a marching band. You know, this is the girl that was in a wheelchair, but she was in a marching band. You know, she had multiple awards in Girl Scouts, and she just, I could go on and on about her, but she had this tremendous spirit about her that no matter what her lot in life was, she didn't define herself by her disability. And no matter what, she just did what she wanted to do. And I said, you know what? She had things way worse. I still have my legs. I still have the use of lots of things, and I can still do a lot of things. And you know what? I'm going to do them. That was a huge motivator. My mom was a big motivator for me, you know, and she always told me growing up, you know, you may think you've got things bad, but there are a lot of people who've got it way worse than you. So you know what? Don't pity yourself. Do what you can with what you've got. And that's how I was raised.
Good words of wisdom right there.
Mm-hmm.
Good words of wisdom. Well, that's Sue, thank you for sharing that.
Okay.
And for, you know, giving us, you know, from the beginning and how it started for you and from where you are now and doing the things you enjoy, even if they were not things you weren't sure you could do, but you had that motivation and you wait until Ken left so you could, you know, make a huge mess with lye and chemicals. But, you know, that's inner motivation, that you're determined to be creative and having your friend in the back of your mind to know that, wow, you know, nothing would have held her back, you know, and nothing was going to hold you back from trying these new things, even with the vision loss from LHON. So thank you so much. We really appreciate you sharing with us. And I wanted to now open it up for anybody. And, of course, if you want to talk, you need to press *7 on your phone. But if anyone has any questions for Sue or if anybody would like to share any motivation or maybe something that they've experienced that gave them the inspiration to move forward or do something that they weren't sure they can do, we would love to hear from you. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pick on one of my co-hosts. We're going to get this thing. We're going to get this rolling. I'm going to go with Jessica. Jessica is one of the co-hosts, and I'm going to have her speak up, and we're going to see if we can get some motivation going on this call. So, Jessica, what do you have for us tonight?
Hey, Rhea. Thank you. It was so funny. I was like, picking on me. hi, everyone. I'm Jessica. So I was actually talking about this with all my coworkers today. We were talking about, like, because they call me the hummingbird at work because I, like, hover over my desk and I'm always just buzzing around. And so we were talking about my eye disease and what makes me motivated. And I try to think back when I lost my vision. it was about two and a half years ago. It's so funny because I can't tell you off the top of my head the exact day. So it's funny to think back. I lose track. But to think what happened, I remember telling myself that whatever I had planned and whatever I was doing then, I promised myself I would keep doing. So the Jessica with Vision was Jessica super involved in whatever. I ran Relay for Life races, whether it was organizing or running them. I was super involved in American Cancer Society. So when this kind of presented itself, I promised myself that I would kind of keep up with everything social that I was doing. So I made sure to keep up with all the girls' trips and all that. But then I wanted to get involved. So here I am. I wanted to be involved within my community that I was part of. Being involved and being connected to everyone like you guys totally gives me so much motivation that it's literally just this, I mean, I talk to other people with other eye diseases. I talk to other people. And just talking to other people after and hearing what kind of motivates them totally just gives me so much energy. I serve on a board. It's called the VRA board. It's a blind technology board. And I literally leave that meeting bouncing off the walls. Because once I surround myself with all that energy, it's just so empowering for me. So I don't know. So that's kind of, those are my key points. I still made sure to do everything I was doing before. I mean, I was 27 when I lost vision. All my friends, we jump on a plane, we go to beaches, and we go visit friends. My friends are all over from college. And I never wanted to stop doing that. And I keep wanting to. So also what motivates me is that it's almost like I get so annoyed that I think that I can't do something that I'm like that much more pushed to do it. So I actually went to the grocery store the other day by myself, had my list fully organized. And it's just so funny because you come home and you're like, yeah, these groceries are so much better. I bought them myself and I went all by myself and no one had to help me. You know, it's just like those little things. So it's the little things of life. It's what totally got me motivated before and getting involved. And I don't know if I even answered the question, but those things totally pump me up.
It kind of, it brings me back to that old saying, where there's a will, there's a way.
Totally.
And if you really, really want to do something, you can find a way to do it. And if you really enjoy doing something, you will find a way to do it.
Absolutely. Like, those things I just love doing. I love being around people that are as motivated and as inspiring as that I want to be. And so it's just so empowering to be around those people. And especially when there's so many things in life that they're like, oh, I wish I'll just ask so-and-so to do that for me. I'm like, oh, heck no, I'm going to do that. And, you know, like, packing the groceries, and I'm like, oh, can you try all the bags so they don't roll around in the cab? And they're like, oh, yeah. And they were so helpful. And you get home, and I'm like, okay, I bought those. Like, it was just so cool. And it's the littlest thing, you know, it's grocery shopping. But
yeah.
If that's one more step for me being more independent and me not having to wait for someone or ask for someone and, I mean, years in, that's totally what makes me just, like, bounce off the walls, like, yeah, this is awesome. And, I mean, that's a great day right there.
Yeah. I think it's having the ability to focus on the positives, like, it's never going to be the same as it was before when you were sighted. You know, like, I'm never going to be able to drive to the grocery store on my own again.
True.
But
I have a great cab driver.
Exactly.
And then you have a great relationship.
Exactly.
And like, I'll wait for you right here. And I'm like, I'll see you in 30 minutes.
Exactly.
And now you have new company.
So if you can focus on the fact that you did the actual grocery shopping on your own rather than focusing on the fact that, you know, because some people will tend to focus on the fact that, oh, no, I can't go by myself, you know, and I'm like you. I got really elated the first time that I took the bus and went was able to go on the bus and pick up a bunch of groceries and get back home and make a meal and surprise my boyfriend because he was doing all the shopping at the time. And I was elated because I did it and I surprised him with this dinner with food that he didn't know I was picking up. You know, so it's really, you know, it's never going to be the same, but you can still do things. And you can still take joy in those things. It's just your perspective.
I totally agree. Sue, I have to share that what I think is really cool about your story is that you didn't, the things that you didn't maybe do before, you got to explore totally different things without a vision. So
yeah.
I was like, why not, you know? Like, why not be making soaps and you've never done it before? Like, that's a whole new adventure, a whole new challenge. But, like, why can't we take those, you know? Like, no vision, we got this. We don't need – I don't need vision to be able to know how amazing my soap is. Like, you know, like, it's so cool that you can jump into new projects, and it's kind of like a bring it on sort of thing.
Well, you know what's really funny about that story is had I done that when I was still sighted, I probably would have jumped into it, and I probably wouldn't have worn any of the protective gear. And I probably would have gotten a lye burn.
See? It's perfect.
Because that was so me before. I would have been, goggles? We don't need no stinking goggles.
Right, and I'm like, people, wear your sunglasses. It's just like, protect your eyes. And yeah, it's so true, but it's so cool to hear something totally new and just completely be motivated, and that's awesome. I bet that would be a great Christmas gift, speaking of Christmas.
Yeah, I've got, like, a whole case of soap I made. I made basil soap, and I made chocolate soap, and I've made rosemary soap. And
oh, geez, you should bring it to the conference.
I can't go.
I know. I've already tried to talk her into it. I've already tried. Well, and, you know, you guys are both talking about, you know, doing what you think you can't do, and, you know, but for, you know, how about some advice, you know, we're throwing it all out there, for when you're in that place where you're needing that inner motivation to, you know, step into something new or tackle something new. You know, I think that's a building process, you know. It doesn't happen overnight, and I'll, you know, make that clear to be sure for everybody that it doesn't happen overnight. You don't just pop up in the morning and say, I am so going to take on the world today. You know, it doesn't always happen like that. And sometimes it does, and Jessica hit on a point, I feel that sometimes it gets to the point where you're so annoyed or so frustrated because you can't do something, quote unquote, that you actually it motivates you to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I call it, you know, I wrote in my last blog was my devastation became my motivation to get the heck out of my house.
Yeah.
I rode the bus for the first time. You know, I put that out there on my blog. I was so devastated that I couldn't believe I felt so trapped, so incredibly trapped. And I thought, I'm stuck in this jail of vision loss. I mean, I was at this really weird moment in this one day. And I thought, well, you know, in my mind, and that sometimes that's all we have. It's not an assistive technology. It's not a book. It's not your best friend sitting there saying, it's okay, you're going to be strong, you can do it. Just yourself. And you have to sit there and think, okay, how I'm going to make this happen for me? Because we're not going to get our vision back. I mean, maybe we will. Let's not give up. But how am I going to get out by myself? And both of you just gave examples of how you've done that. And I was at that moment where I thought, how am I going to get out by myself? The only, besides calling friends and family, which we all do, which, you know, it gets hard at times, was getting on that bus. That mm-hmm. was the only way. And I was scared. I didn't know. I mean, I'm like, you know, I felt like a 5-year-old getting on the bus for the first time. And where was it going to take me? I can't see. You know, all those crazy things in your mind. But I got to my destination, which was only 7 miles. I figured that was pretty safe. And I walked in it was the Braille Institute here in San Diego. And I walked in, and the lady at the front desk said, Maria, you rode the bus. And I went, I know. And she started clapping for me. And, you know, it just confirmed, like, you know, I took what was a really, really hard moment of feeling so so helpless to a moment of complete empowerment by my own motivation and by my own desire to get move ahead, make that step forward. And it's a great feeling. It's a feeling of accomplishment. It's riding a bus, making a meal, making a bar of soap, grocery shopping by yourself, and hopping back in the cab by yourself. And I think we all want to do things by ourselves. That's independence.
Right.
And, you know, we really do. I'm throwing this out again, have we spurred any stories or experiences with anyone else on the call so far?
Sure.
Would anyone like to chime in?
Yeah, this is Jim McCroy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, a couple of things just about the riding the bus. I've learned to ride the bus like yourself. And one of the challenges, of course, is you have to take like 3 buses, you know. You get up one stop, change, take another bus, and so forth. Even how many stops the buses are. And so I'm pretty meticulous about doing my research. You know, I spend a long time on Google Maps sitting there, you know, and it says, okay, 3 stops. Okay, this one's 7 stops, you know. And I just, you know, and I try and pay attention so I know, because, you know, you don't want to miss your stop and get off at the wrong stop and be lost and so forth. So I try and do a lot of research on my trips, you know, to make sure I know exactly where I'm, you know, get off this bus here, I have to walk so far, and I have to, you know, get all my directions in. But just about role of the story I mentioned to you is about doing things like you used to in the past. I got Libras when I was 30 years old. That was 27 years ago. I'll be 57 in June. So it was 27 years ago. I used to do quite a bit of running when I was younger. I'd ran 3 marathons in my 20s, did a lot of running and so forth. But when I got Libras, my daughter was born that same time when I was 30, and many of the similar situation like Sue had recalled, you know, and so forth, diagnosis. But a couple of years ago, about 4 years ago, my daughter, she was like 23, 24 years old. She had just graduated college, and she was athletic in school and stuff there. And I said, well, you know, I should do a lot of running. I still could run right now. I'm still in good shape. So let me go. I'm going to run the San Francisco Marathon. It was only like 2 months before the marathon. I run the San Francisco Marathon. I said, come on, run it with me. And she says, no, Dad, you're crazy. No way. I said, come on, let's do it. She says, tell you what, let's do the half marathon. I said, no, I'll do the whole marathon. I says, I know it's been like 25 more years since I did it, but I got enough miles banked up. I know I can do it. Matter of fact, I'll even do it barefoot, I told her. Running barefoot is not with no shoes. There's a special kind of barefoot running shoes. It's a new thing where you're kind of running on the front of the balls of your feet versus the heel. And it's like running with ballet shoes. They're real thin-type shoes. But that was a mistake because I hurt my feet really bad. Mm. But I said, okay, I'll tell you, do the half marathon, and I'll take it the rest of the way. And that's what I did. We signed up. I ran just a few weeks before. And that was it. and she ran with me for the first half of the marathon, and after that, I could basically make out people, and I said, there's going to be enough people running this marathon, it's like 7,000 people, so I should be able to, like, catch up with somebody and kind of run with them a little bit. And of course, my feet were hurting so bad because I was running with these special, like, ballet shoes, barefoot running shoes, which had no, my ankles, my shins were hurting so bad. But I'd run with somebody and then kind of drop off and find somebody else and say, are you running this marathon? And they said, yeah. I said, well, let me just hang with you for a little bit. And then I couldn't hang and I'd find someone else. But I made it the second half by myself, just kind of, you know, latching onto other people and kind of running with them. Sometimes people didn't know I was running with them. I was right behind them, and they're running, and I'm running with them, but they didn't know I was running with them. They just, but before long, when they kind of disappeared, I'd kind of grab somebody else that I could see and kind of latch onto them. But, yeah, I ran the marathon and made it. It was like, you know, 5.5 hours. It wasn't anything great, but I made it. And so you could do things that you didn't do before.
That's awesome.
That is great. And it's something, it was something inside you that just said, I just need to do this. I just really, really want to do this. And you, you know, corralled your daughter into to doing it with you. And, you know, what a great feeling. What a great feeling that must have been.
May I say something to that, please?
Yes.
I actually did the exact same thing, ran after somebody, and they had no idea that I was following them. And I think it's really cool how you touch your baked goods for Steel. I think that's a neat story. And Jessica, to the grocery shopping, I just want to say, of course, we all want our independence, but even sighted people, everybody, we all need help in our lives. But as far as going to the grocery store, you know, I guess everybody fights vision losses. We all have different degrees of what we see. But in the Walmart, everybody knows when they're expansion joint is in the floor, like where two pieces of like cement come together, there's like a line between the two. There's a place in the grocery store where I figured out, I went up to the expansion joint and I found it, and at that spot I know to go up and I know where to find something on the shelf. But that just goes to, like, you know, how we have to improvise and you know, make things happen for us. But I don't have a super high self-esteem, but honestly, what motivates me is in my head, people don't need to know this, but I feel, like, really proud of myself. I have to, because it is a motivator, that's just what I do, you know. It just helps me get through the store. I mean, it's very frustrating, but, you know, I feel kind of like, dang it, you know, I did it, you know, and I'm proud that I did it for myself. But anyway.
That's
little things, too.
Yeah. That's awesome, and it is. It could be the littlest thing, and it puts a smile on your face, and it's that you know, patting yourself on the back, like, I did that. You know, I did it. And, you know, you might have been a little leery at first, but you're like, you know, it is those little things, and it can be big things too. But even finding the little ways to do them that, you know, you figured out on your own are really, really important. And, of course, you know, things you want to share with others, because you say, if it works for me and I have the same vision loss, you know, you might benefit from it too.
Remember the first time I went to Walmart after losing my sight, because I wouldn't go for the longest time, and I was petrified. And I kind of went through the same thing. I was like, why am I here? I can't see what I need to get. I can't find what I need to get. There's tons of people here. They're trying to run me over. And now I go in there like a boss. You know, I like, get out of my way. I know what I want to get, and I do. I've got my cane, and people get out of my way. They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the touching of things. Today, my wife wanted me to get some jelly beans from the store. I thought, I'll walk to the store and get some jelly beans. Well, I'm in the candy section. I'm feeling. I said, okay, those are chocolate kisses. Okay, these are M&Ms. I'm feeling. The guy's wondering, I'm grabbing and touching everything, all the candies I find. Those are like jelly beans. But I touch everything and feel it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Marie, I'll jump on here just a little bit, if you don't mind.
No, thank you, Andy.
Because several of you have basically said exactly what I have here in my notes, and you almost said it word for word, Maria, in terms of the motivation I have and the motivation I find. I mean, I've kind of changed my life a lot since having all of this, and a lot of my motivation originally was, hey, okay, now I have this new thing going on in my life, and I obviously need to change this. I wanted to get a new condo so I could walk to work. I applied for a new job that was more conducive to my situation. All of these things I just wanted to do because I could just see how close I was to this amazing situation. But on top of that, once you start putting yourself out there, once you go to the grocery store or you walk down the street, I mean, I'll walk down the street with my cane and have someone yell out their car window how awesome I am to just be walking to work like that. And you mentioned it when you said you first went to the Braille Institute where the ladies started cheering for you. And that's really how you feel. And you don't realize that when you're at home or you're getting in your own head. But the world is kind of cheering us on, and that's really motivating as much as anything. And sometimes they may be in your way, but like you said, Sue, you get your cane out, and they'll get out of your way pretty quickly. But in general, the world is kind of out there and cheering us on and wants us to succeed as much as anyone else. I like my independence a lot, but it's empowering using our resources out there, whether they be things at the grocery store or anywhere else. Just, I mean, that was the biggest thing to me. Once you start going out there and trying to do things, it doesn't even have to be anything crazy. Once you decide you're going to try, quite often you don't have to find your own motivation inside yourself because the world will give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and sometimes you don't even know you're doing it. You're going out and trying something, and all of a sudden you realize, whoa, I'm out here, I'm walking down the street by myself, and, you know, your friends are behind you, and you're leading the pack with your cane. And you're like, wait, what's wrong with this picture? That happened to me this weekend. I was away with some friends, and we were walking down the streets of Palm Springs, California, and we'd come out of a store, and all of a sudden I realized I was in the front with my cane, and my friends were behind me gabbing away, and I'm just walking through a crowd. And I realized I'm not afraid, and I'm just doing this. And I turned back to my girlfriends and said, does something look wrong here? The blind girl's leading the pack. What's going on here? But I didn't even think about it for the, like, 10, 15 minutes. They were just following me, and I was the one that was just kind of feeling my way down the street. And on the other hand, I thought, I can do this. And I didn't even realize I had just mentally put myself on the street and just went.
Yeah.
And just went. And, you know, we had a good laugh about it. Of course, they all ran around me and went, oh, we're sorry. And I'm like, no, I'm totally doing this. You guys go back and carry on like you were. I'm got this. So, again, like Andy said, it's empowering when you find you're doing something, like you said, walking down the street, and you just realize, you know, whoa, you know, we got this. And your people yelling out the car window or your friends going, whoa, look at you. And it's like, that's right. Look at me. I got it.
It's so kind of funny. You know. It's kind of funny that you say that. Sorry, I interrupted. But when I go out, there's a whole group of us that go out together and we go to a mall or something. I'm an Aries. I'm like, bull, you know, horns forward. I got to be first. And so I've always been that way. But when we go out, I'm like, I lead the pack. It's
yeah.
kind of my nature. So they just kind of let me just, you know, go forward. And with my cane, I kind of part the way for everybody. And they're
yeah.
like, just let her go. And they're like,
yeah.
she's going to part the way. That cane just kind of, like, parts the crowd, and they follow me.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why my friends were just letting me go, so they didn't have to deal with the crowd. I'm sure that they made me, you know, somehow it worked out that way. I don't know. But, it was kind of an aha moment for me, just being, you know, still kind of, you know, a little over a year into this of going, wow, look at, you know, and I'm not, you know, and again, it was getting over that fear, which is a lot of times a motivation. I need to get over that fear, is finding the courage to get over it. And maybe sometimes why you put yourself out there is to get over the fear.
Mm-hmm.
That comes along with, you know, vision loss, and it just does. And there's no getting around that. There just is. So, but you guys, we are getting, close to the end of our call. And I want to, before I forget, I want to thank Everyone who spoke up, thank you so much. I got Sue as our guest speaker, who gave us all kinds of examples and some enlightened us on some great things that she has been doing and some good stories, and both Jessica and Andy for piping up. And I do want to take a minute, though. I told Lissa I was going to give a quick promotion for the upcoming LHON conference. It's going to be June 17th, 2015, this year. It's in Washington, D.C., and I encourage everybody to try and attend if they at all can. You know, realizing it's tough for some of us to get out, you know, to the East Coast or up the coast, and you know, hotel and all of that. But as Jessica and Andy and I can attest, we were first-timers last year, and it was absolutely worth every minute. We didn't even want to leave. We had a ball socially and learned quite a bit from the conference, from different scientists and doctors and speakers and panelists that were there. But we, more importantly, we did bond with a very large group of people who are affected with LHON, and many of us, such as the three, are still friends who stay connected, you know, even after the conference. So if you are interested in looking and getting more information on that, I know Lissa posted a link a couple days ago on the LHON Facebook page, but, you know, possibly she can throw another one up, and you can click on it and check it out. There's also a big thing about a big deal this year is it's called Day on the Hill, and it's the next day where people from the UMDF, which is United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation, and anyone that is under that umbrella per se, such as people with any mitochondrial disease, as LHON is, can go to the Capitol and speak to their representative about much-needed funding for research, for treatments and cures for mitochondrial disease. And I think that is a huge chance of a lifetime to be able to go and represent this community at the Capitol. So that is Thursday, and then the rest of the conference kind of goes. But for people with LHON, you know, if you go to the conference day Wednesday, and if you'd like to do the Capitol on Thursday, that's pretty much all you're going to need. It really is all you're going to need. And we are going to be having some social gatherings the night before the conference Tuesday. We are going to have a welcome meet and greet the afternoon before, so we can all meet each other, get together. And I know I'm not the only one to say that that was one of the funnest evenings of the entire time that we were in Virginia, in Pennsylvania last year. We shut the place down, I believe, which some of us were regretting the next day who were on West Coast time. But we absolutely had a wonderful time. And Lissa, she knows how to put on a conference. So you are guaranteed a great time, and will gain so much knowledge about the disease that we either are affected by or are carriers of. So I really encourage that, and Lissa will be putting up a link. So other than that, I'd like to say if anyone wants to be a guest speaker, such as Sue, on any calls that we have, please email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. We'd also, you know, would love to hear any comments or suggestions that you might have on that email. At the same time, we do check it. And our next conference call will be, and I don't have the date, but it will be the first Wednesday in May. And the times will be the same, the phone numbers will be the same. But as you know, we'll be putting out promotions and, you know, who knows how crazy the videos might get as we go along. But I'm kind of, you know, getting into those. And we will make sure you know well in advance the numbers.
May 6th, Maria. May 6th.
May 6th. May 6th. May 6th. So, you know, go have your Cinco de Mayo on the 5th. But you know what? Snap to it on the 6th because we want to have you on the call.
I have one question for you, Maria.
Yes.
Did you tell your son to save the bloopers?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know what happened to the bloopers from these last three videos, but, I've been very open that, you know, it's been trying doing these videos on my own or with other people or my own child who is, you know, about to drop the, you know, telling me, forget it, Mom, I'm done. I'm not filming you anymore. But, you know, I did tell him, I said, we should put together a blooper reel of these little gooby videos that I do. And I asked him and he had deleted, you know, the other 16 takes of the video I had done, which, you know, were full of foot stomping, hand gestures, and bad words. So I couldn't, you know, they couldn't be public or anything. But anyway, who knows? I mean, maybe I can dig up something along the way. But anyway, going forward, I know to save the bloopers because I know some of you are very interested in them. But, you know, it's just in, you know, the videos are just in fun to, you know, get you guys' attention, get the community's attention to get on the call and get connected with us. And, you know, any way we can get you guys to dial in on a Wednesday, you know, we're willing to do. So thank you so much, everyone, for calling in. Thank you, Jessica and Andy, for being the best sidekicks ever. And one of them will be heading up the next call. And
Marie.
Here, Maria.
Yes, it's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Oh, hi, Chris.
I just want to say something that it's very short, but I think very, very important. I was just this past week at the Doheny Eye Institute, and they are doing an LHON mood study, a survey online. I think, Lissa, you know all about this, I believe. They asked me if I did it. I did it as soon as it was posted. And they need to hit 100. And they need about 30 more to complete this survey. So it's statistically, valid. And they asked me if I took it. They said, do I know any LHON people I can call? To please, effective people need to respond to this survey. So I was going to give it a plug tonight because this is so, so very important. Lissa, can you explain it better?
Yeah, and I'll put the link up right now, and I'll mention that if you are affected and you do take the survey, please understand that the team that created the survey, they know a lot about LHON. They know a lot about psychology. They're learning about how to make things adaptive for the visually impaired. So you might end up needing support for accessing it, and apologies for that. But if you can just be patient and do it with support if needed. I'm hearing that some folks that, you know, did do it maybe thought they were done and they weren't. There's a chart at the end that's a little bit difficult to navigate through. So, again, if you can, if you haven't done it yet, and I'm going to put the link up as soon as I'm done talking here, but if you haven't done it yet, check the link that I'm going to put up into the group right now, or you can message me and I'll send it to you, whatever's better for you. And if you can do it, like she said, they're very close, just need a few more to get it done. Would appreciate people doing it. It's a combined effort between Dr. Sadoun's team and like the head of psychology at USC, and their hope is to gather the data and then publish several articles. And the goal is, you know, there's things that we all know as people and families who are touched by LHON, and we understand without even thinking, you know, the emotional impacts on somebody. But it's shocking what doctors don't know, what ophthalmologists don't know, what psychologists don't know. So the goal here is to gather what this group of people knows and then publish articles in publications where those kind of folks will get the information, so that as future people and families are diagnosed, the medical professionals will have a clue what they're up against, and then we'll be able to serve them better, if that helps. So again, I'll post the link in a second here, and then if anyone, can take it that hasn't, it would be greatly appreciated.
Yes, they would so appreciate it.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much for chiming in on that, and that, you know, knowing that they still need more participants. We don't always know that, and I know Alyssa has posted it several times. I posted it I posted it in the private page as well. So, but hey, you know, throwing it out there again, knowing they're so close. So anyone on the call,
yeah, so close.
Check
it
out.
Takes maybe 15, 20 minutes to do.
Yeah, and, you know, do have, like Lisa said, and I saw some feedback on the posting was, you know, do have somebody with you that can maybe help navigate the end of it. Just don't get frustrated and stop. So, anyway, with all of that said, we all have some homework to do if you haven't done the mood study, but please take it. You know, we all know, this affects people in many, many different ways, and we need the medical world to know about it. So until next time, May 6th, you all have a great month, and please contact us on LHONLive@gmail.com with anything you'd like to hear us talk about, and we will talk to you next month. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks very much,
bye-bye.
Everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye, guys.